Football on Off the Ball.
I just really cared about what Ludwig gives head. How much thanks to Paddy McCarthy, thanks to John O'Shea, thanks to Down Healy, read into all the other comments.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
Good morning. Happy Christmas to you all. It is St. Stephen's Day and you're very welcome to the first of four Christmas specials of the Racing Pod with John Duggan and Johnny Ward here on Off the Ball. Every morning at 10:30 a.m. you're going to be able to listen to expert analysis, race previews, details of market moves and the all important tips. You've had your Christmas dinners, folks. We now want you to have Christmas winners. A reminder that the full Off the Ball Racing Pod with William Hill is free wherever you get your podcasts. Johnny, happy Christmas to you.
Same to you, JD.
Johnny, you have some news for us.
Yeah, I actually got engaged yesterday. Got on the lucky one. Came in 18 to 1. Yeah, so I was planning to do it over the Christmas. And then on Christmas Eve, I was trying to last minute Christmas card. And there were no Christmas cards in the shop. So I bought a card that said, "You're hitched," with kind of a car and a hitch in the front of it, hoping that Zoe would say yes. And we walked through the town of Atai yesterday, just by the River Barrow, and there was no one there. And it was a good opportunity to finally do it after all these years. So
congratulations, Johnny.
I could do with a winner, basically.
Congratulations. Well, you already have a winner with Zoe, Johnny. And
Lovely.
And delighted to introduce our special guest, Don McLean, today. Don McLean, the chief racing writer of the Sunday Times, contributor to the Irish Field and the Sporting Life, and analyst of the Racing TV. Don, are you bowled over by this news that Johnny Ward is going to be a kept man?
I am a little bit. Yeah. Fair play, Johnny. You old romantic, you. I mean, there are varying reasons for getting engaged. Not being able to find a Christmas card is not one that I've heard before. But fair play, Johnny. Congratulations to you and Johnny, or and Zoe. And brilliant. Great news. Fair play to you.
Hope you had a good day yesterday, Don. And let's get down to it, folks. And congratulations to Johnny Ward and Zoe. And we're looking forward to all the stories that are going to come in the next few years. So there are race meetings. I'm going through this, folks, today at Leopardstown, Limerick, Downroyal, Kempton, Aintree, Weatherby, Wincanton, Market Raisin, Fontwell, Sedgefield and Wolverhampton today. 11 meetings. Don McLean, like, is there a rhythm to today? Do you follow a jockey? Do you follow a trainer? How do you make today pay for you if you're going to have a punt?
It's very difficult, John, to follow everything. You can't, basically. You just can't follow everything. You have to, once you've kind of got your head around the races you want to see at the start of the day, and maybe write them down somewhere and have them on a chronological list. But, you know, of course, they're the headline races, the highlight races, and we're going to come on to them now in a second. There are other pockets of races along the way. Like those first two maiden hurdles at Leopardstown, they're definitely worth seeing with an eye in the future. More than anything else, they've been big indicators of the future in the past. They've been won by, you know, horses have gone on to big things. Kopeck de Bord, for example, he won the first maiden hurdle here last year. No Flies on Him won it the year before, and the second. So that's the 4-year-old maiden hurdle, and then the second race, King of Kingsfield, won it. So Gerhard won it. City Island won it going back a few years. So it's a race that those two races are maiden hurdles worth keeping in line for the future. But I suppose, John, you know, to answer your question, you have to specialise. You have to pick out what you want to watch. And there is a Weatherby and Wincanton as well that are worth watching. And obviously Aintree, that's a relatively new addition to the Stephen's Day fixture list. But and then it's a case of tonight or maybe in 5 days' time going back and reviewing them. But there's an awful lot going on, but some really top-class racing as well.
How do you approach today, Johnny?
With great excitement, you know, it's the day where you to buy the racing post on Christmas Eve and to have those race cards to get you through Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and this morning in paper format. I know the papers are struggling and dying out, but I still love getting the paper Christmas Eve. Don kind of sums it up there. You just can't take it all in. I generally focus on the Irish stuff anyway, and then add in Kempton specifically and a bit of Aintree as well, obviously. But Racing TV has an excellent service service on the where you have Racing TV Extra, where you can focus on a specific race meeting if you want. That's particularly valuable this time of year. But you know, with the racing starting so early, Christmas Day can feel like a bit of a long day, and it's just the best day of the year. You know, everyone's in festive form, and if you're not going racing, you can sit in the couch at home. And we have a King George Day with eight runners and basically everything you'd want to. Almost all of the races, the top race, it's hard to crab with them this year. And as Don says, that first race at Leopardstown, you know, I had one tip this Christmas is in the first race at Leopardstown, so loads to enjoy.
Was it Leader Dallier?
Yeah, I did a piece in The Currency with Patrick Mullins just for their Christmas piece, and that was the horse he mentioned. Now, to be fair, he won it on Kopeck de Boers last year, as Don mentioned, but he's an intriguing horse in any event, and Patrick is lucky in that Paul Townend is in Kempton today. So this is a horse that I think believes has already been sort of nibbled at for the Supreme. There are good runners in the race, but I imagine, he's only even money now, but Patrick shouldn't be putting us too far wrong, I think.
Patrick, as you know, folks, did an interview with us in November, a long piece. And I said, give us a horse to follow. And what did he say? Leader Dallier. There you go. So hopefully he's right if you're having a look today. Let's get on to the King George Chase at Kempton, 2:30. This is one of the great races in racing, and hopefully Kempton will be able to stage it in the future. It's pretty, very sad now what could potentially happen. Gaelic Warrior, Don McLean, 5-2 with William Hill now. He's been supported in the market this morning. You got Banbridge in there, last year's winner. Factophile, who has won at the Cheltenham Festival. But Jamie McManus looking to win the race. Ile France, second last year. Django Bay, an improving type, who won the Arkle. The Jukebox Man, owned by Harry Redknapp of football fame. Gaelic Warrior, though, getting the money.
Yeah, what a race. What a King George. You know, it's kind of thought Gaelic Warrior was always going to be on track after the John Durkin chase, but then Factophile just last week was added to the mix as well. So it's brilliant that the two horses have served up for me what was the best race of the season to date in the John Durkin chase, taking each other on again. Both trained by Willie Mullins. Just shows you Willie Mullins not averse to having two of his big horses taking each other on again. And yeah, look, Gaelic Warrior, interesting that he's an Arkle winner, he's a bowl winner at Aintree, both going left-handed, yet he jumps to his right. And like that race in the John Durkin chase, when he battled back to get the better of Factophile, it looked like he was going to come and win it. That was a big performance for me. Just be a little bit worried about the ground for Gaelic Warrior. He's probably a horse who likes the ground to be on the soft side. But more than that, a lot depends on how he's going to get into his racing rhythm. It looks like Ile France is probably going to go on. The Jukebox Man probably likes to go forward as well. So there should be a good pace on over 3 miles. So Paul Townend should be able to get him, I'd say, settled behind the pace as opposed to letting him stride on like he did in the John Durkin chase. Factophile, top class horse. His Ryanair chase win at Cheltenham last season was a brilliant performance, one of the outstanding performances of the year. And he had that big race in the John Durkin chase. So he's stepping up in trip. He's probably not a Gold Cup horse, as in 3 miles, 2.5 furlongs up the hill at Cheltenham, but Kempton, flat 3 miles. You can easily argue that it's close to optimal for him. Django Bay is such an interesting horse. He won the Arkle last year. He managed to win a bizarre Arkle last year, but his run at Ascot was really good this season. He's a horse who, he's 2-2 at Cheltenham. He's never run at Kempton, so it's going to be interesting to see how he goes at Kempton. And you mentioned Banbridge, John. I think Banbridge is the value of the race. I think he's a little bit of a forgotten horse. He won the race last year. The sectionals from last year were very impressive. It wasn't that the pace collapsed in front. He had to actually quicken and pick up Ile France. He was fastest through each of the last 4 furlongs in the race. And look, he's run 3 times since, pretty inauspiciously on all occasions. But the Hillyway chase the last day was a seasonal return. He had 2 runs before he came on here last year. His run in the Hillyway chase last year was really good when he unseated at the last one upside Zenergamin, to whom he was conceding £10. This year he missed it for 3 at chase. He made a seasonal return in the Hillyway, and he probably ran okay, I thought. It was a trip too short over 2 miles. The ground was too soft, but he wasn't far off him at the second last before he faded. You can allow him that. He should come forward from that. Paul Townend's obviously, who rode him last year, he's obviously on Gaelic Warrior. JJ Slevin's committed to Limerick, but Sean Bowen's obviously a great book in their absence. And the ground is coming in his favour as well. It's good to soft ground, kind of verging on good at Kempton. That should be ideal for him. And I can just see him running at running big enough odds.
12-1 he's into now with Hills, Banbridge, last year's winner, Don McLean. Johnny, how do you assess the King George? Can't wait for this.
Yeah, Don has summed it up brilliantly there. Now, I wouldn't agree with him on Banbridge. I actually did tip him to win the race last year, but that race last year compared to this, I think there's no comparison at all in just in the quality of it. And I would be a little bit worried that they've gone for a visor today, which, you know, they've left the cheek pieces behind, and maybe that's suggesting that they're looking for a bit of spark that hasn't been there. And like Don, I wouldn't be too disappointed with the run at Cork, but I just feel the race has so much depth this year, and this is a perfect race. For horse racing in many respects. You've 8 runners. I don't think you can say that this is a race where insider information is going to be a big factor. So everyone feels like, you know, he or she has a chance. If you want to fancy something in this, you're going on form, you're going on the hunch of how the race will work out. There's, you know, everything is kind of on the table in terms of what these horses have achieved. And it's a brilliant, brilliant race where almost any result is possible. I think you can rule out Master Chewy, but anything else probably could win. I'd agree with Don and Gaelic Warrior. I would be a little bit worried about the ground. I feel Paul Town, it'll probably slot in today. It won't be like the tactical John Durkin where they were going over a distance short of his best, where he was able to probably say there are likely 2 winners of this race and I'm going to try and take the sting out of one of them. But I do like the Jukebox Man as a horse. I hope he might be able to get a relatively soft time of it up front. A key for me here is that this is quite a unique track, and he was brilliant in the Kota Star Novice Chase at this meet last year when he beat Rocco at Haydock. That form wouldn't be good enough to win this, but he used class on the day, and he's a sophomore chaser with plenty of upside. He was a very good herder. I just really, really like this horse. Everything about him, how reliable he is. You couldn't say all of these horses are reliable. Ile France could bleed, could throw in an absolute stinker. Gaelic Warrior has been absolutely prone to throw bad runs. In fairness, normally going the other way. But I just love this renewal of the race. Funnily enough, I actually don't really see a bet in it per se. It's not a race I think I tipped 10 horses on Racing TV today, and this wasn't one of the races I tipped in, but I'd go with the Jukebox Man.
I'll also go with the Jukebox Man, lads, and I think that if it's 8 runners and he's what 13-2 and drifting, he could be a 7-1. Sometimes horses need to find a lot on maybe ratings and pounds, but when you look at a horse visually, and I just was so impressed with the way this horse jumped for fun over the course and distance last year, I think it would be a great story, emotional story, of Harry Redknapp had the King George winner. And he's only 7. He was second in a Grade 1 at Cheltenham, nearly won the Albert Bartlett a few years ago. Not a lot of miles on the clock. Gaelic Warrior for me jumped a little bit low, I thought, at Punchestown. Factophile, does he have the bottle in a finish, as classy as he is? Django Bai is a horse that, once again, I really like his attitude, and he did seem that he wasn't stopping last time at Ascot. So I think if you're looking at the prices, I think Don has got a very good point there about Banbridge. If you're looking at a value bet, and I think if you're looking to get back, if you think the Jukebox Man can finish in the first 3, he's an each way bet to nothing for me, I think, is the kind of the view on the King George. We have the Call of Star Novices Chase. I mean, the Christmas Hurdle, Sergino was odds on, so I don't know if we should even talk about that much, but lads, but the Call of Star Novices Chase has always been competitive. Don, you have Kitz Buhel in here for Willie Mullins and Paul Tennant, who's favourite. This is at 120 at Kempton. Just bringing up the odds here for the Call of Star Novices Chase over the same course and distance as the King George. And what, 13-8 with William Hill, Kitz Buhel for Paul Tennant, Willie Mullins? Do you think he wins, Don?
Yeah, you can see why he's favourite, John, for sure. Like the race that he won at Punchestown the last day, he beat Ked Doty, and the Enabler was back in third, Gordon Elliott's horse, and he was really impressed with winning at Ferryhouse, then won a rated novices chase at Ferryhouse next time. Interesting that Kitz Buhel was entered in the Faugheen chase as well at Limerick, but they're going over here with him. And look, you can see why he's high in the market. But it's a good race. This is the race that the Jukebox Man won last year, as you were saying. Wendigo, Jamie Snowden's horse, they think an awful lot of him, and he was very good in winning the John Frankham chase at Newbury last time. He beat No Questions Asked into second place, and No Questions Asked travelled really well into his race. He probably didn't uphold the form next time, and he was beaten by Steel Ally at Ascot there last Friday. He travelled well through his race again. He's probably a horse who's going to be better over shorter. He probably doesn't fully see out 2.5 miles. Regent Stroll, who ran too keenly in that Newbury race, the John Frankham race, he came out and won easily next time at Wincanton. So the form is kind of good form. You would have liked to have seen No Questions Asked maybe running a little bit better than he did, but Wendigo, the step up and trip from 2.5 miles to 3 miles, that should suit him. He's a real staying horse, so he's a big player. Salver's a big player in there as well for Gary and Josh Moore. And for me, I thought Crest of Fortune was interesting. I thought he was put in at a bigger price than he should have been put in. That he finished fourth behind Wendigo in the John Franklin Chase over 2.5 miles. He finished third in the Sefton Hurdle at Aintree last season, the Grade One race at the Grand National Meeting over 3 miles. So that was a really good run over a longer trip. The 2.5 mile trip should have been way too sharp for him at Newbury the last day. He'll definitely improve for stepping back up and trip. And he may not be good enough to win it, John. He may not have that class, but I think he can outrun his odds now stepping back up and trip to 3 miles.
Completely agree with you, Don. And it was money from yesterday, and he's 14-1, and he has been supported for Sam Twiston Davis, Anthony Honeyball, Crest of Fortune. I think sometimes, like, they go a mighty clip in this race, and sometimes a stayer can, like in the style of Hewick, can sometimes pick them up. So I kind of agree with you on this. Johnny, do you think Kitz Buhel wins this?
No, I don't. I certainly feel he's one of the shorter price horses I'd be taking on today, and he appeals to me as the type of horse who's kind of only going over here because it suits connections with the day that's in it. I don't think he'd be going over otherwise, and you're trying to kind of split horse around, as Don said, find Le Mans going to Limerick. This is going to be a very testing 3 miles, like even around Kempton, it's going to take some getting, and he's not proven over it, and I'm not sure his form anyway warrants him to be as short as this. And if you look at the way the race will probably pan out, Salver's just a horse who, if he can get into a jumping rhythm, the race could kind of fall into his lap a little bit. And I definitely respect Windigo as well. And in terms of my kind of Bismarck of the day, Kitz Buhel at around about 6-4, he's far too short for me.
I remember I once met a trainer at Leopardstown, and I said, can you give us a Bismarck? He said, I don't do Bismarcks.
I'm going to spend the rest of the show figuring out, is that man still alive and who is he?
Sir Gino's odds on for the Christmas Hurdle 155. Does Golden Ace ever get the credit, Don McLean? Has won a champion hurdle, has won a fighting fifth. Now, these races have collapsed and given the mare victory, but she's always had a battle and a finish. And is she being disrespected against Sir Gino, who hasn't run in a year?
Yeah, I think so. Absolutely. Yeah, totally. I think she's got a chance of beating Sergino. I think she should be closer to him in the market than she is. Like, as you said, of course, she was lucky to win the champion hurdle. Stateman would have won the race had he jumped the last. Constitution Hill fell early on, and he fell early on again in the fighting fifth. But at Newcastle last time, I'm not sure she wouldn't have beaten the new lion anyway. He fell at the second last, and the common consensus afterwards was that he would have won. But, like, I thought that Lorcan Williams hadn't really gone for her at that point. She jumped the final flight really well. She stayed on well to beat Anzadam, and Anzadam had a really high reputation going into the race, still has a good reputation. But for me, that was a really good performance by Golden Ace, and it would have been, we'll never know how she would have fared if the new line had stood up, but the new line was champion hurdle favourite going into the race, and she, at very worst, she would have given him a real race. She might have beaten him. And Sergino, like, okay, he's top class, we know that. He's 5-for-5, he's over hurdles, he's never been beaten. He won it over fences the last time we saw him. But that, therein lies the conundrum. That's the last time we saw him. He had as well publicised difficulties since then. That was last year in the Wayward Lad Chase at this meeting last year. That's the last time he ran. He hasn't run over hurdles since he won the Fighting Fifth last season, so 13 months ago. And if Constitution Hill was still able to able to jump hurdles and stay upright, he'd be running here, and Sergino wouldn't. He'd be continuing his chasing career, I guess. So I think Sergino, look, he might be classy enough to win this and win this well, but I think Golden Ace is rock solid, and I think there are questions that Sergino has to answer. He may well answer them, but he has to answer them, and I think she should have been closer in the market to him than she is.
I just think the problem with backing Golden Ace, and Dom will acknowledge this, you're entirely really reliant on Sergino not being the horse that, you know, he probably is. So the problem with having a bet on her is that she's definitely not, she doesn't have his ability 100%. So if he's kind of fancied on the day and does the job, like, you'll feel after the race, should I have backed her? But it's definitely a risk backing him. Like, it's definitely a risk backing him, given the background of the last year that he's had. So, intriguing little race.
What about this? Is there even much time to be spent in the Formby Novices Hurdle? Another Grade One at Aintree, Don, 105, because My Daddy Paddy is odds on and has the Supreme Novices Hurdle at Cheltenham as his target. All the rage for Dan Skelton.
Yeah, look, he's been all the rage, and it does happen. There's momentum building up behind My Daddy Paddy, which sees him top of the market for the novice hurdle at Cheltenham. So, look, again, he may well win, but it's not a foregone conclusion. Like Idaho Sun's good horse of Harry Fry's, won his maiden hurdle, won impressively at Bangor last time, and Starmount as well for Ben Pauling. Ben Pauling is having a phenomenal season. Like Starmount, he fell in the point-to-point that Conman John won, and probably would have given Conman John a race at the time. Then he went on and he won at Tattis's Farm for Jonathan Fogarty. So he won his point to point. And then he was impressive in winning his novices hurdle at Weatherby last time. So he's a horse who, you know, there's more to come from him as well. So I wouldn't say it's a foregone conclusion. And I because My Daddy Paddy is so short, I think he's 5-1 for Cheltenham, he has to be put in short for this. So, yeah, I definitely wouldn't be backing him at odds on. And there might be value beyond him.
7-4 on is what that horse is, My Daddy Paddy at Aintree. And I can tell you on the pod that I'm no Conman John. I'm a straight, honest person. So no issue with that. I'm living quite close to Leopardstown, and it's been a very crisp few days here in Dublin. And I'd expect the ground to be drying out all the time. I suppose the first big race is the 110, which is a juvenile hurdle. Just looking at the market here, Narciso has is even money. Barbizon 7-4 with Hills. Ben Hur, a bit of money for that, 17-2. I can't believe Johnny Ward, Puppet Master, who ran in the Derby, is running in this race for Kieran Murphy. Cost 75 grand, has been gelded. Went off 11-1 for the Epsom Derby, running in a juvenile hurdle at Leopardstown at Christmas.
Yeah, and such a big price as well. This is one of my favourite races of the Leopardstown Festival, full stop. And Barbizon is one of the horses that I would definitely have in mind as an antipost bet for Cheltenham in relation to the Triumph. He's a horse that I followed a bit by virtue of, I suppose, being racing a bit when he was racing, especially so when he won, when he was fifth rather at Killarney. I was racing that day and I was a bit disappointed in him, but he sandwiched that with a victory at Killarney and a pretty impressive win over extended 9 furlongs at Punchestown. And then when he showed up in, I didn't realise Jigginstone had even bought him. And he did, whilst he looked a hurdling type, if you were to go over from what he was being trained to do, essentially be a very good miler, and then go to Navan to win what was a strong maiden hurdle on heavy ground in the most testing track in the country, really, in November, and to do it the way that he did, well backed, I was really, really taken by that performance. And I tell you one thing, like, you know, Narciso Haas is favourite, and maybe he does have the best form in the race, but he will have to go to beat this horse. You know, you really will have to go to beat him. Barbizon, I tip Ben Hur actually subsequently on the basis of I thought he excelled himself against Barbizon, and he managed to get the job done at Fairyhouse. He's a good horse as well. He travels really well, and he loved the pacey nature. As you mentioned, it's the most beautiful wintry weather, but it's not going to be you know, ground that's getting any worse or anything like that. And the chase track particularly, they've had to water it. Barbizon is pacey, and if he settles, he'll have a turn of foot. He holds Ben Hur strictly on the Navan form, but I wouldn't be surprised if Ben Hur was the one to chase him home. Narciso Haas has a reputation, it seems, and he ran a good race at Fairyhouse, but you know, I think Barbizon, for me, I'd probably make Barbizon favourite myself.
In the Sporting Life column, William Mullins is very positive on Narciso Haas, so we'll see what happens regarding that. Like, I mean, Barbizon to me has done nothing wrong. 101 of the flash, Don, grand versatile, will come forward. I think Johnny's right. Do you agree?
Yeah, I agree with pretty much all of what Johnny said. Like, this horse, he didn't make his racecourse debut until June, until Irish Derby weekend at the Curra. And John Murphy did a great job with him. As you said, reached his rating of 101. He was good in winning at Punchestown on his last run on the flat over a mile and 1.5 furlongs. And yeah, like, he was very good in winning his maiden hurdle that day. He got out in front from early, and they kind of came to him, but Danny Gilligan rode him that day. When he gave him a squeeze, he came right away from his rivals. He won by 4.5 lengths or 4.25 lengths, but he left the impression he had a good bit more in hand than that. It was a really taking, as Johnny said, really taking hurdling debut. And he beat Ben Hur and Wackerson in the second place. Wackerson, actually, there wasn't much between him and Wackerson, a stable companion, both trained by Gordon Elliott in the market before. And in the end, he was just sent off as favourite. But Wackerson then came out and he finished second behind Ben Hur in that race at Ferry, as Johnny mentioned. So the form is rock solid. He did it really well. As you said, John, that was his first run over hurdles, so he should come forward from that. And yeah, like, he's a really interesting horse. The fact that he's joined now Jigginstown and Gordon Elliott from John Murphy to embark on his hurdling camp, campaign. That's obviously significant. Narciso Hat, he's a horse that you have to like, the Willie Mullins horse, JP McManus horse. He ran really well on his first run for Willie Mullins, first run in Ireland in the Grade 3 Juveniles Hurdle on Hatton's Grace Hurdle weekend, when he and Monge 2 had it between them from a long way out. Monge 2, she'd been way too keen at Down Royal when she won at the end of October at the big Down Royal meeting. And she settled way better in behind for Jack Kennedy the last day, and she quickened up well. So it was she was entered in this race. Obviously, they've decided to go with Barbizon instead, but she's an interesting juvenile hurdler, obviously, for the season ahead. And, you know, time may tell that to run her as close as he did was a good performance by Narciso Hat, and you have to put Ben Hur in there as well. But no, I kind of agree with Johnny. I thought Barbizon should have been shorter than he is.
In 2:20 at Leopardstown, we have the Racing Post Novice Chase, over 2 miles and a furlong. This is a Grade 2 with 9 runners in it. Look, sometimes what horses do over hurdles is a bonus when they go over fences. And I think Romeo Cudio is one of the most impressive horses I've seen this year. He thought he was electric over fences in the Drinmore, especially the last time at Ferry House. I think he wins this. He's odds on. He's no value as a betting proposition. But Romeo Cudio is an exciting horse to watch. I think he'll make lengths at his fences today in this race, and I think he'll be able to overturn his hurdles defeat by Salvatore Mundi. How do you look at it, Johnny?
Yeah, I'd agree, JD. You know, novice chasing is just one of those reasons we love racing, to see how these horses can embark on something that's quite different to hurdling, and to see if they can justify all the money that they cost, and to see if there could be something, you know, the touch of a final demand or something very exciting about them. And Romeo Cuglio is all of those. Now, if you see the 7-length beating he got from Salvatore Mundi at Aintree, that's the one reason you would say, well, how can I back this horse at odds on, given Willie Mullins trained Salvatore Mundi and he smashed him as a hurdler, and there's kind of a case to be made for that. But like Salvatore Mundi, for me, I was disappointed in Mathurlis. He's not the most straightforward horse in the world, and in any event, this is just, it's in some respects it's like Gaelic football and hurling. It's a different game, like hurling and chasing. It's a different game, and this horse is a machine over fences. Like everything he does, he's an absolute natural. He'll put other horses into out of their comfort positions, that'll basically make them cry enough a long way out. They won't have the ability to go with him, Romeo Cuglio, and he's just a far more straightforward horse than Salvador Mundi. I've followed this horse most of his career. I remember being at Ferry House when he won a bumper. I tipped him up in the Cheltenham bumper when he ran well, and as much as he couldn't find Copec de Bourdes, he wasn't quite able for him as a hurdler, and ultimately Salvador Mundi as well when they clashed at Aintree. His chase start at Down Royal, his chase debut was kind of a strange one because they omitted quite a few fences. He was still exceptional, and he was further exceptional at Ferry House. Very ground versatile, trip versatile horse, and he was 4-5 actually going into Christmas Day, which I was slightly surprised at, but I couldn't oppose this horse at all.
I remember before Cheltenham one year, I spoke to Henry de Bramhead, and I'm a form book student, and he was going on about how well the Catalan was going at home. And I said, yeah, whatever, to myself in my own head. And then I put the kettle on, wins the Arkle at 16-1 or 20-1. And I just was just white as a sheet. July Flower kind of reminds me a bit of Put the Kettle On. She's won a Grade 2 at Cheltenham last time out, Don. She has won at the track at Leopardstown. She could be a good each way play here. If you're talking about what you're paying the first three, surely she'd be in the first three.
You would think, yeah. She actually, that race she won at Cheltenham last month, that was the same race that Put the Kettle On. She won that as well before she went on and won the Arkle trial at Cheltenham. And yeah, July Flower, like last year as a hurdler, she was kind of a 2.5 mile hurdler. She won the Grade 3 Mare's Hurdle over 2.5 miles at the Leopardstown Christmas meeting last year. And yeah, like as Johnny said, different disciplines, over fences. She seems to be faster. She won over 2.3 miles at Limerick on her chasing bell. She was impressive that day. And then at Cheltenham the last day, you would have kind of understood if that 2 mile trip at Cheltenham would have been on the sharp side for her, but it wasn't her. And kind of, you know, they say that a little bit. Horses, if when they go over fences, if they're jumping as fast and efficient, they can be more effective over a shorter trip than they are over hurdles where they need a longer trip. But and July Flower possibly is one of those horses. She's unbeaten over fences. She's 2-2 now, and she's got a little bit to find on ratings. On their hurdles ratings with Romeo Cuglio and with Salvatore Mundi as well, but she does get the £7 Mares of Land, so that's a help. So yeah, I can see her running really well. But Romeo Cuglio, yeah, like he was a very good hurdler last year. He was one of the best novice hurdlers around, but as a chaser. Like when he made his debut at Dan Rod, there was a low sun, so they emitted four of the fences. So we kind of didn't get a full view of what he could do, but he jumped the other, there were nine fences left in, he jumped them well. But then last time at Ferry House, like I was against him. Not that I was against him. I was for a Gold Dancer, Willie Mullins' horse. Like he is a very good horse. Got a rating in the 150s, and he had more chasing experience than Romeo Cooley, who'd only had the one run. So I was giving Gold Dancer a chance of beating him, but not a bit of it. His jumping was even better. He's going to be, or probably is already a better chaser than Hurdler. And yeah, look, he's just a really, really exciting horse. And for me, it's a horse and a race to watch and watch him and see how he goes.
You think, Don, he'll be a Gold Cup horse or a champion chaser?
Yeah, you see, that's the thing. I think just back on the July Flower thing, I think Jack Kennedy said something like that after Ferrius, didn't he, that he could over fences. He was a faster horse, like definitely over hurdles. They were thinking going out and trip. But I think it looks like this year they're keeping him to the minimum trip, which makes sense. And then maybe next year, please God, go out and trip. And you can see that, like Django Bay, for example, he's the Arkell winner and he's now a King George horse. So you can see maybe in the novice season, keeping them to shorter trips and then extending them. I mean, we've seen that in lots of cases, Sizing John, Kicking King, War of Attrition, all horses who raced over 2 miles over fences in their first year and then went on and stepped up and tripped and were Gold Cup horses later on. But yeah, Romeo Cooley, he's kind of that type of horse, isn't he? You could definitely see him developing along those kind of lines.
Do you have an interest in the bumper, Johnny, at Leopardstown? What, half three, the last race of the day? Money for the Mourn Rambler, trained by Noel Mead, into 11 to 1 now. All the others are pretty, not negative, but not being supported in the betting. The Helldam is the even money favourite for Patrick Mullins and Winnie Mullins.
Yeah, I remember that article about Michael O'Leary back in the day when I think Johnny Mullen might have written it back in the day in the Racing Post, but he started the article by saying, you know, it's not uncommon for people at a race meeting to get up and depart and, you know, get into the car before the bumper. It's a little bit uncommon when you actually have a horse running in the race, as is often the case in Michael O'Leary, and that he didn't take bumpers very seriously. I'm slightly like that. I like bumpers, but I rarely bet on them, and this won't be an exception in that regard. I think, you know, City of Blind Light, I'd massively respect Martin Brassel, and he's an interesting pedigree, that horse, and obviously Helldam as well. Dr. Dino's going to have a huge say in some of the big races this Christmas festival, but it's not a race I'd be having a bet in, to be honest.
Do you have a view on this, Don? Interest in the money coming for the Noel Mead horse? And look, I mean, anything from the Willie Mullins yard has to be respected, and you'd have to think that some of these horses be seen in the spring festivals.
Yeah, look, you know, there's not a whole lot of form to go on, John. It's definitely a race worth watching and keeping an eye with the view to the future. But, you know, with the pedigrees involved and the favourite, Helldam, like he's a point-to-point winner. He beat a horse who's gone on and enhanced that form since in Lord Rouge. But no, it's a race for watching for me.
What about Limerick then, guys? Because there's racing at Dan Royal and Limerick as well today, and definitely there's always a good hunter's chase at Dan Royal, and Gordon Elliott often sends out some winners there. Gavin Cromwell has got some horses running at Dan Royal today. Limerick, there's a heavy ground race, if the ground is still like that down in Limerick. The Defender Novice Hurdle, that is at 133, 2 miles, 7 furlongs, just under 3 miles, a grade two. I always find, folks, this is a race where you really need to get every yard. It can be a bit of a war of attrition. I was looking at the horses that point-to-point history. So Kazansky or Kazansky won a Cork Maiden Hurdle over the minimum distance, but was also a point-to-point winner for Sam Curling, now with Gordon Elliott. And the one I really liked was the Big Club Man, a nice prospect from the PTP ranks, who is in the same colours of Daily Present for Paul Nolan, second in the Grade 3 Monksfield Novice Hurdle at Navan. It looks to be up his street. What do you think about this one, Johnny?
Yeah, this is a cracking race, actually. It has plenty going for it. You could spend plenty of time on it. And I did when I was trying to pick a winner in it for Racing TV for today. And to be honest, then I just left it because I kind of felt County Final was my idea of the winner. This horse is, everything about him would imply that this sort of meeting would be his target. Trained by Eric McNamara and owned by JP McManus. And I'm very much a believer in trying to figure out, especially with this sort of owner, where
The name, Johnny.
Exactly. County Final, and if like where might he be sort of laid out for a Christmas? And County Final, like JP often has kind of Gaelic Games teams to his horses, and you know he's been so heavily involved in Limerick. I was at a wedding over the weekend where a former Limerick hurler was telling me how he got married in Adair Manor, and they're all sort of intertwined under the McManus banner in Limerick. And County Final could be a very good horse. I think he beat its working man I am at Navan when he was even. the one thing about that, Callum Hogan rode in that. He's a very promising rider. He did jump a little bit out to his right, but what was impressive there was the way he stayed over two three at Navan, which basically implies that he's going to be a good horse going forward. I was there that day, and he was impressive. And the third horse totally boosted the form since. And even though he was beaten by Coquito Bello since, Coquito Bello then won easily, actually, in what looked a good handicap subsequently. And County Final probably does want a trip. So he's my idea of the winner. But as you say, JD, the likes of the Big Club and Santos Espoir, yes, she'll in the race. It's just tricky because, as you say about stamina, that this is going to be a bit of a slog. I think it'll suit County Final, but he doesn't quite have it in the book. So he's my idea of the winner, but I wouldn't be having a bet in the race.
On Christmas Eve, I was in Clobbert Station in Newark, and obviously remember a very good horse called Clobbert Station. I think Ted Walsh trained it. Don McLean, what's your assessment of this? I mean, Yas Hill is in top connections to Double Green. Santos Osper is Rob Coors, so a lot of big money behind some of these horses.
Yeah, so it was good. And when he was made in Harley Punchestown last time, he finished second in the Land Rover bumper, or the Defender bumper, at Punchestown Festival last year, so in 2024. So he's a likely race horse as well. He's only had those two runs over hurdles. He ran in the maiden hurdle that Kopec Debord won at this meeting last year, and he's only run once since. That was in the maiden hurdle of Punchestown. So he's a really unexposed horse. Kazanski, you mentioned, John, he was unseated at the final flight in that Down Royal race by his stable companion, the Flying King. Remember, the two Gordon Elliott horses were clear, and one fell and brought down the other. The Flying King, he's come out and he's won since, and the Flying King himself finished second behind Odd Sort That in the Ferochian Hurdle. So that's good looking form, and he's interesting as well for Gordon Elliott and Danny Gilligan. County Final, agree with a lot of what Johnny said. Like, he's just such an interesting horse. Lots more to come from him. He's a half brother to Champ Kylie as well. So really nicely bred horse. And that horse Johnny mentioned, Coquito Bello, Philip Rothwell's, who beat him the last day. He won the handicap next time off a £10 higher mark. He's now £22 higher than he was then. So it shows you the kind of, yeah, and he was beaten a length and a half by him. So it shows you, and maybe Coquito Bello has improved since then, but it was a good run, probably a better run than it looked at the time when County Final finished second to him. But of them all, I'm with you, John. I like the Big Club man. Like, Paul Nolan's having a really good season. This fella, he started off over 2 miles at Wexford at the end of October, and I was there. That was a weekend in which Paul Nolan had a really good weekend, and I think he himself was absent on the first day. He was himself at a County Final in which his son was playing. But then the Big Club man, he looked that day as if he'd appreciate a step up and trip, and he stepped up to 2.5 miles the last day at Navan on heavy ground in the Monksfield Hurley, finished second behind Calypso Chance. Calypso Chance's horse was sent off as favourite for the Champion Bumper last year, so that was a really good run. And interestingly, even though he'd won over 2 miles, or an extended 2 miles, halfway through that race, I don't think he was going nowhere. Sean O'Keefe was riding him along down the back straight. It looked like he was going to finish fifth or sixth. And the more the race went on, the stronger he got. And actually going between the final two flights, it looked like he might go and win it. Now, Calypso Chance, he's a strong stayer as well. He found lots on the far side and beat him by just over a length. But there was a lot to like about the way the clubman stayed on up the hill. And watching that race, you'd think a stronger test of stamina would suit him. Well, he's going to get that, as you're saying, today over 2 miles seven on heavy or soft to heavy ground at Limerick. But yeah, I can see him going well. I can see him staying on well.
Johnny, have you noticed anything else at Limerick or Down Royal today or Leopardstown that was worth us knowing about?
Very much so, yeah. Gary Bannon, who's assistant trainer and the big man in the operation of Bill Durkin's stable, I met him at Dundalk before the Christmas, and he was raving about Cork Compliance, who has come in now. He's been quite well back, but that's the 11:40 at Down Royal. And at Limerick, I'd be very sweet on Cousin Kate and Mudan for Dennis Hogan and Kieran Murphy respectfully, and Happy Dreams as well. All of these really solid horses on ground that'll be massive contrast to Leopardstown in Limerick. It will be testing, like it's often like that anyway, Chris. But this year, Leopardstown has just been, it hasn't gotten that much rain in recent days, which would have made it on the softer side. And Aya Connect as well at Down Royal is a horse I'd be very interested in. But those three horses at Limerick, Cousin Kate, Moo Dan and Happy Dreams, I'd be very sweet on.
Don, anything else you are noticing that we should know about?
There's so many interesting races, John, throughout the whole day. Like the Hunter's Chase at Down Royal, that's always an interesting race. It's on the line, it's back. He won it 2 years ago. Cons Rock is in there. Terence O'Brien's horse, really interesting horse. So Terence O'Brien, who won well at Fairy House last time on heavy ground as well. Dunnock O'Brien as a runner in a three-year-old maiden hurdle at Limerick at the 12:25. Kilmeaden has got a rating of 93 on the flat, having his first run back since being gelded. JJ Seven rides him, and then some of those races later on at Leopardstown, really interesting races as well. So plenty to be looking out for.
But disappointing that there are only four runners in the Roland Meyrick handicap chase at Wetherby, where confusion is the odds-on favourite or even money in places. Time, folks, to get to our picks here on the Racing Pod. This is the first of four episodes, remember, of the pod. We're running it all through Christmas, the Racing Pod Christmas special and Off the Ball. Every day at 10:30, the pods will drop, and we'll have previews tomorrow of Leopardstown, Limerick and the Welsh National as well. Don McLean, our special guest, what are you picking today?
I think for value, John, I'm going to stick with Banbridge. I think he's overpriced in the King George. He won the race last year, all the reasons we outlined earlier on. It's a race that does foster repeat winners. It's a race that, you know, when you're proven at Kempton, especially under King George conditions, then it's a big asset to take back to the King George. I think there have been five dual winners since 2000. So I just think he's been a little bit overlooked in the market. I think his value at the price.
Banbridge in the King George, 12-1, the 2:30 at Kempton for Don McLean each way. With eight runners is great value. Johnny Ward, what do you like today?
My best bet for the listeners, I think we go with something that's Leopardstown, and it's Barbizon. He's been quite well backed actually since we even started the show. Now into 7-4 with Hills, hoping for a bit better than that, but I really feel he should be favourite in the 1:10 at Leopardstown. As I say, I have a scatter of fancies at Limerick as well, but Barbizon is probably the one I'd most concentrate on. Just to note, JD, like, it's very important. A lot of people will be, you know, a little bit worse for wear after yesterday. They might have, it's very important not to get ahead of yourself today, because it can ruin the Christmas if you've a bad day punting today and you just start chasing loss and all that. Don't do any of that. Enjoy the day. If you lose a few quid, that's fine. Don't do anything silly.
Please gamble responsibly, folks. Obviously, it goes without saying, we want to have your shirt on by the time we get to the 29th. All we're trying to do is guide you to the winners. Like, I'm so cowardly that I'm just going to say that I think Leader Dahlia will win the first at Leopardstown at even money. Keep it simple. Patrick Mullins told you, he told me, look, if a winner at even money is better than a 20-1 loser, Johnny.
Just on Leader Dahlia, yeah. I wasn't, like, this horse is virgin on even money here now. I wasn't expecting that, because Patrick Mullins is a good judge, and he's taken on, when you're... Barney Curley used to say, never be afraid of the opposition, which was fine if you had £50 in hand, but you should be afraid of the opposition, especially if you're backing a favourite around about even money. And Ballyfad, the opposition, the main opposition on paper, I can't see 2 miles, a sharp 2 mile suit in him. So I think that's massively in favour of Leader Dahlia, who I'm very tempted to do a little sort of a cume today, put in Romeo Coolio, Leader Dahlia, maybe Barbizon and stuff like that, but I'd be totally witch on that, and well worth listening to that brilliant interview you did with Patrick as well, which a lot of people were talking to you about.
A reminder, folks, the full Off the Ball Racing Pod is free wherever you get your pods. This is day one of our 4 days of Christmas specials on Off the Ball, and the podcast drops at 10:30 every morning. So tomorrow we're going to have Leopardstown, Limerick and the Welsh National preview. It's Don McLean, you're going to be back with us later in the week. Thank you so much, Don, today.
Thanks, John.
And thank you, Johnny. Have a great day, lads.
Yeah, I was just saying and putting a screenshot of us up on Instagram, lads. Like, it's a lot of people would say, oh my God, you're working on St. Stephen's Day. But like, this doesn't feel like work at all when you're racing like this.
Lads, best of luck and we'll chat soon.
The Racing Pod.
On Off the Ball.
With William Hill. 18+. See gamblingcare.ie.